Attention, attention, Cybercast listeners, heads up. Welcome to your home for all things cyber, where we uncover and explore the complex world of cybersecurity. This episode is a live recording from Never Hack Estonia's Nordic-Baltic Security Summit 2024, where top experts and enthusiasts gather to share insights and innovations. So, if you love this episode, then show some love back. Like, share, and drop us some feedback. But yes, all right, it's time to play the recording. So today we are at the Nordic-Baltic Security Summit 2024. And we are talking to Coop Estonia, which has a grand history of over 100 years in the retail business. Coop's mission is to maintain regional communities and by improving local trading. Having been in the business for so long time, has had its turns, and during the course of time, the cash machine, the till, has evolved remarkably. Today, we carry the cash machine. So it's something completely different from 100 years ago. So the business focus in Coop is on speed. The speed of getting the goods to consumer and maintain balance in warehouse and increase the operational efficiency. So operational efficiency is the A&O for the Coop. Digitalization is a coin that has two sides. On one side, there is operational benefits and speed, and on the other side, it also holds a myriad of risks. So focusing on the supply lines, we want to ask, and that this is a good question, how does milk get from cow to fridge? And what part does a retail business play there? So today we are talking to Kaspar Hiovain, who is the CIO of Coop Estonia, and Janus Sootla, who is the CSO.
Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
So my first question, what is Coop Estonia? Kaspar.
As you already briefly explained, we are retailers. We are actually with a long history retailers, and we are the Estonian biggest grocery retailers, with holding 23.5% market share.
Yes.
And it has been like that, I think, last 10 years or more, with annual turnover more than 800,000 euros. Mm-hmm. And daily we have like 160,000 transactions in our stores. Mm-hmm. So compared to our size of the nation, it's, I think, quite heavy load that we are having daily.
So this means that 160,000 invoices, checks are being put into the SQL.
Basically, yes.
Yes. So that's heavy.
That's heavy.
How many customers?
I think it's better to reflect with our loyalty system. We have more than 700,000 active loyalty cards used mm-hmm. daily. So now compared with number of people in Estonia, so let's say more than half of Estonians.
Yeah. So basically everyone's a customer.
Basically, yeah.
I am a customer. I am a true and loyal customer to Coop. That's the number one place where I go, actually. So I want to understand the road of digitalization. What are the milestones of digitalization for Coop? What are the next steps and challenges ahead, or where do you come from?
I think when looking back, there is two roads we have to look. We have to look the warehouse, what happened there, and we have to look in the store, what has happened in that side. So when we start in the warehouse side, I started in Coop, I think, 20 years ago already. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think the most activities in the warehouse were done by hand, paper, and pencil. So picker went to warehouse, took a paper with the picking list,
yes.
Did something in there, hour, 2 hours maybe, came back, mm-hmm. put some goods, someone entered the data. At the moment, we are in the era when everything is done actually by voice guiding. So picker has only a headset, microphone. Everything is guided automatically. Picker just has to follow the orders step by step, pick the goods that he or she will be asked you, and put the goods on the pallet and throw them outside. So I think that's the on the warehouse side. And on the store side, as you said, we start up the till with basically manual buttons. At the moment, most of the transactions are actually carried out by customers themselves. More than half is our usage of our self-service nowadays. And also we rolled out app just 2 months ago now, so it's also pushing in.
How has all this digitization affected the business?
It has, of course, as Ronnie said, it's in retail, it's speed, speed, speed. But not only the speed, it's accuracy and reliability as well from both sides, from store level. We need to know if the customer is actually scanning all the goods, paying his honest customer on the warehouse side. We need to know if the picker is picking right goods. When it comes to accuracy, our picking accuracy in the warehouse is 99.6%, basically. Okay. So there's no errors on picking level. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to speed and reliability, of course, then it's comes to availability. Mm-hmm. What you do in the digital side to grant that this is working. And that's the challenge.
So the infinite question of supply line from cow to the fridge. What are the digital components between milk and the home fridge?
Oh, in our case, everything starts with data. We are implementing or rolling out our automated ordering solution, Relax. Mm-hmm. And all the process starts with actually collecting all the data that has done the past day in the stores, the transactions. Mm-hmm. We need to receive all the transaction data by midnight. So it's fed in into the AI machine, basically, which then calculates and forecasts the demand, what we need in the warehouse, what we need in store side, places the order. So, and then, so it's really, really fast. We need to collect or propose the orders by 10 in the morning. And goods, milk, for example, we are starting to receive it in the warehouse I think at 1 o'clock already. So, and it's the picking starts at 5. So it's a really, really fast process.
Yes.
We can't have any stoppage in there.
But all this digitization also like creates some cybersecurity. I don't want to say problems, but things.
Challenges.
Challenges, yes. And what are those? Because to maintain all that speed and efficiency, what are the most challenging part from the cybersecurity perspective?
Jaanus.
Well, like Kasper said already, availability. So that means that we have to take that into our main focus when we're thinking about the cybersecurity side of things. Of course, the usual things, your duplicate technical setups and all the failover setups and so on and so forth. So far, I would like to think that we have done something right, or we have just been lucky. We haven't had any major incidents. If we don't count in our own made incidents.
Homemade incidents.
Well, yeah, that tends to happen when there's a software and there are developers and so on.
Yeah, you mix software and developers and
you and admins. Of course, administrators also. The infrastructure side isn't clean.
Some salt, yeah.
And also, of course, our second focus, which Kasper didn't touch on that much, is what you said, that we have a lot of loyal customers, we have their data. Mm-hmm. And that's the confidentiality side of things. Mm-hmm. Those customers have put their trust into us that we will keep their data safe. And that's what we are trying to do to our best knowledge and using best practices for that.
Can you open a little bit, like what things you have taken and what kind of solutions implemented to achieve it?
Well, of course, we like comply to all the regulatory requirements, GDPR and so on. talking technical, of course, the usual encryption for data at rest, encryption for data in transit. One important thing is we are trying to keep things separate. Our external face, which doesn't need any customer data, we won't put it there. That's the main point which we are trying to check all the time, that there isn't data leakage from inside to outside. As we know, in Estonia there was a case where customer data leaked. Don't know the details at the moment, but we all heard all kinds of things. And as I understood, there was this issue that non-encrypted data was just lying around in a server where it shouldn't have been. So that's the thing that we are taking seriously and checking all the time. Also, of course, the usual minimal access
principle.
Yes, who doesn't need to access the data doesn't access the data. So I would say the overall best practices, we try to use those.
But my question is that, is there a mindset shift in the top management part? Does top management understand?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Sorry.
Yeah, in our, let's say, in our business, I think the mind shift is like mindset is shifting. It's partially due to the incidents in other organizations. Also, I think quite important role is the war going on, geopolitical situation, that it like heightens the overall attention.
Yes.
Of people. But challenge is that the mind shift is mainly happening on the upper level of of companies and in our organization also. And the challenge is to bring that that mind shift like lower, because we know organizations get breached not always from the top.
Yeah.
Phishing emails are going around for everyone.
Yes.
Accounts get hijacked for everyone.
So what is the major risk that that in the retail business you see, not inside but overall? Is it theft or fraud?
As Jan just said, I think it's starting the mind shift. Yes, the mind shift has been carried out in the management level. It's, for me, it's not, let's say, that hard to justify the budget expenses, for example, for the cybersecurity. But the issue is at the store level. When you're looking out, when you look around the store, what you see, for example, in the liquor part, there is a security tax on the cheap bottles of vodka.
Yes.
That's what the store is protecting. But when you go to the store with a heavy jacket on, say you have, I'm from Delhi, I need to access your back room, you have no problem in there. That's the issue. And that's the weakest part, I think.
Yeah, the physical side of security in retail, since retail is an old industry, they have pretty much worked out their methods and processes for that. But let's say the digital side of security is a lot harder to implement because it needs the mindset shifting for the ordinary personnel also in the store.
So what kind of incidents can you share? What has happened?
Well,
cyber incidents.
Like I said, to be honest, we haven't had any serious incidents. Which have like influenced our business in any serious capacity. We only had a couple of minor things. Of course, we can, if we say that cybersecurity is like confidentiality, integrity, and availability, then we definitely had issues with the availability side of things. And as I said, it's more like self-inflicted harm. But regarding confidentiality and that side of things, let's say we have had one phishing case, a CEO classic phishing case, which was done in 2020 when the company HR department was overwhelmed with COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they got an email which asked in the name of the CEO to
change the bank account.
Yeah, change the bank account, yeah, for the salary. So they did that, of course, since it was the CEO, of course, who wrote, yes, the email. But something wasn't felt right for the, mm-hmm, HR people, so they started to investigate it, mm-hmm, and included us also, and found out that it was a phishing email. And actually the salary was already sent on the way, but we managed to contact the bank, which was used for the phishing bank account, and bank managed to like interrupt it. So that I would say was one incident. And another interesting incident was actually we are using NeverHack Estonia as our SOC service provider.
Yeah.
And part of the service is Recorded Future Dark Web Monitoring and Brand Protection. And through that, actually, we got in that information that one of our personnel credit card data was leaked to dark web, and we managed to inform her that it has happened, and she could like change her card, and there was no damage done. So I would say those are like the remarkable incidents for us, which don't include availability.
What I take from here is again that why it is so important to have some kind of like standard operational procedures to do those kind of transfers, and actually previously in the panel discussion it was also highlighted that cybersecurity is all about those repetitive small things that you have to like consistently do and stick to them, and I think it's really important to like highlight it. But is there anything else that like some cyber initiative that you have taken and feel that this has contributed a lot to your company's success, something that you want to highlight?
Well, we are lucky that our business is mainly in Estonia. Our clients are Estonia. We are Estonian business, so we can easily decrease our attack surface by like not showing too much outside. And that's, I would say, our main bonus, that we do business only in Estonia. And then that's what we try to heavily use or abuse.
Geofencing, basically.
Yeah, not only geofencing, but all kinds of access lists. We can use it quite heavily.
So it's inexpensive, low-hanging activity.
Exactly. It takes off like all the first interest, mm-hmm, basically.
Okay, I think it was really good talk.
Good discussion. We will surely come back to you, Coop, Kaspar and Janus. Thank you for being here, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.